You know that feeling when you're backing out of the driveway, you hit the button to close the garage, and instead of that satisfying thud of the door meeting the concrete, the light on the opener starts flashing at you like a nervous heartbeat. The door might jerk down a few inches, and then retreat back up, as if it's seen a ghost. It is one of those small modern inconveniences that feels like a personal affront, especially when you are already 5 minutes late. Most people assume the motor is shot, or the springs have finally given up the ghost, but more often than not, the culprit is a pair of small, glowing plastic eyes near the floor that have simply lost track of one another. I want you to walk over to the door with me and look down at the bottom of the steel tracks. On either side, about 6 inches off the ground, you will see those little sensor units. One is usually green, and the other is amber or red. We call these the photo eye sensors. And their entire job in life is to send an invisible beam of light across the opening of your garage. If that beam is broken by a stray tricycle, a trash can, or even just a thick cobweb, the door refuses to close. It is a safety feature designed to keep the door from crushing anything in its path. But when the sensors get bumped or dirty, that safety feature becomes a barricade. Before we start turning screws or stripping wires, I always make sure the path is completely clear. I've seen folks spend an hour troubleshooting electronics when the real issue was just a rake handle leaning an inch too far into the light path. I also like to pull the red emergency release cord, the one with the plastic handle hanging from the center rail, just so I can move the door manually if I need to. It gives me peace of mind, knowing the motor won't engage while my fingers are anywhere near those tracks. Safety in a garage isn't just about the big things like the springs. It's about respecting the tension and the sensors that govern the whole system. I remember a Saturday morning about 10 years ago when I was convinced my entire opener had fried during a thunderstorm. I spent 3 hours in the middle of a humid July afternoon reading the manual and checking the vacation lock on the wall console. I was frustrated, sweating, and ready to drop $300 on a brand new unit. Just as I was about to give up, my neighbor walked over, knelt down, and wiped a thick glob of dried mud off the lens of the receiving sensor. His kids had been playing with a soccer ball near the door the night before. One wipe with a damp rag, and the door closed perfectly. I felt about 2 inches tall. That taught me the most important lesson in DIY repair. Always start with the simplest, most obvious solution before you go looking for a catastrophe. So, the first thing we are going to do is grab a soft, clean microfiber cloth. We are going to gently wipe the glass lenses on both the sending and receiving units. You would be surprised how much a little bit of salt spray, dust, or a well-placed spider web can diffuse that infrared beam. While you are down there, look at the lights on the sensors themselves. If one of them is flickering or completely dark, that is our smoking gun. A solid light means the sensor is getting power and sees its partner. A blinking light usually means the sensors are out of alignment. They are looking past each other instead of making eye contact. If cleaning the lenses didn't do the trick and the light is still blinking, we need to check the alignment. These sensors are mounted on thin metal brackets that are notorious for getting kicked by a boot or bumped by a lawnmower. I want you to take your hand and feel the bracket. If it feels loose or wobbly, that is likely your problem. You can usually loosen the wing nut holding the sensor in place with just your fingers. Once it's loose, I want you to slowly pivot the sensor up and down, then side to side. As you move it, keep your eyes on the small LED light on the back of the unit. You are looking for the sweet spot where that flickering light turns into a steady, unwavering glow. It's a bit like tuning an old radio. You'll feel the bracket settle into place and see that light solidify. Once it's solid, hold the sensor perfectly still with one hand while you tighten the wing nut with the other. You don't need a wrench for this. Finger tight is usually plenty, as over-tightening can actually warp the bracket and pull the sensor back out of alignment. Now, if you've cleaned them and aligned them, but the light on one of the sensors is completely out, we have to look at the wiring. This is where things get a bit more tactile. I want you to follow the thin bell wire that runs from the sensor, up the side of the garage frame, and across the ceiling to the opener motor. This wire is very thin, usually 20 or 22 gauge, and it is easily damaged. I've seen staples driven too hard through the insulation, or even mice in the attic chewing through the outer casing because they like the taste of the plastic. Run your fingers along the wire. You are feeling for any nicks, sharp bends, or places where the wire feels brittle or frayed. If you find a spot where the copper is exposed, that is a short circuit waiting to happen. If the wire looks good, but the sensor still isn't powered, we go to the motor unit itself. I usually grab a stepladder and look at the back of the opener where all the wires terminate. There are usually small push terminals or screw terminals. Sometimes, the vibration of the door opening and closing over several years can actually wiggle those wires loose. I'll take a small flathead screwdriver and ensure each wire is seated firmly in its port. You might see a white wire and a white with black stripe wire. It is vital that these stay in their respective homes. If they've pulled out, I'll strip back about half an inch of fresh insulation to reveal clean, shiny copper. Twist the strands together so they don't fray, and press them back into the terminal. You should feel a little click or a firm resistance when they are seated correctly. Once we've checked the connections at the motor, we go back down to the sensors. If we still have no light, the sensor itself might have failed internally. This happens sometimes after a power surge or just due to age and moisture. Replacing them is a straightforward task. You can buy a universal replacement kit at any hardware store. I like to cut the old wires about 3 inches away from the sensor, leaving enough room to splice in the new ones. When you are splicing these tiny wires, don't just twist them together and hope for the best. Use those little grease-filled wire nuts or B connectors that usually come in the kit. The grease inside protects the copper from the moisture that naturally lives in a garage, preventing corrosion down the line. You'll put the two wire ends into the connector and squeeze it shut with a pair of pliers. You'll feel a little pop as the connector bites into the wire. It's a very secure, professional way to handle low-voltage wiring. After the new sensors are wired up, we go back to that alignment dance we practiced earlier. Mount them in the brackets, aim them at each other, and wait for that steady glow. You might be thinking that this seems like a lot of steps for two little plastic boxes, but the garage door is likely the largest moving object in your home. When it doesn't work, it's a major disruption, and when it's not safe, it's a liability. I always like to perform a final test once I think I've got it fixed. I call it the block test. I'll start the door closing, and then I'll wave a 2x4 or even just my foot safely away from the door's path, through the sensor beam. The door should immediately stop and reverse. If it does that, I know the logic board in the motor is communicating perfectly with the sensors on the floor. Once that's done, I take one last look at the tracks. I'll clear away any debris or old grease that might be causing the door to vibrate excessively, because that vibration is what eventually knocks those sensors out of alignment in the first place. A little bit of preventative maintenance goes a long way. I'll usually take a can of lithium grease and just hit the rollers while I'm at it, making the whole operation run as smooth as a hot knife through butter. Standing back and watching that door glide down and stay down on the first try is a great feeling. You've saved yourself a $100 service call and gained a better understanding of how your home actually functions. It's about more than just the repair. It's about that confidence that comes from knowing you don't have to call for help every time a light starts blinking. You've got the tools, You've got the feel for the wires, and you know exactly what to look for next time. When we are finished, I make sure to put the door back into automatic mode by pulling the emergency cord back toward the motor until it clicks into the carriage. You'll hear a metallic snap when it locks back in. Now the motor and the door are one unit again. Give the button a press. Watch the door cycle all the way up and all the way down, and listen to the sound of a job well done. There's no more flashing light, no more stuttering door, and you can get on with your day knowing the heaviest door in your house is exactly as safe as it's supposed to be.